Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Just kind of marveling at my... Oh, by the way, Drake's Cake have arrived. Drake's Cakes. What do we got over there, Curtis?
We got some yodels, some coffee cakes, and your favorite, the ringdings.
I love the ringdings. Who dropped these off, Joe? Just some listener? Or was this actually somebody associated with the Drake's?
Was a fan of the show, Josh in the car.
Thank you, Josh. We're geared up. We're ready to go. What do you expect atmosphere-wise tomorrow? What's the weather forecast, first of all, meteorologist?
A little bit
of rain, isn't it? Adverse conditions
and,
for Drake?
My dad is under the weather, so I don't think he's going to go.
What?
Yeah.
He missed the start of the new dynasty.
He will. It is going to be mid-50s, partly cloudy.
Mid-50s, partly cloudy. Any rain?
Nope. Not during game time. Rain plays, if you don't play at prime time like the Patriots, you won't see any rain.
How does Drake like the ball inflated PSI-wise?
He loves an 11.5.
Okay, perfect. Get him in there. Get him throwing. Are we conservative? We're having him on the run. What are we expecting? 200-plus yards you've already declared, so he's going to throw some. And his favorite target is Hunter Henry, or is he taking a couple deep shots?
You know what? He has this clever way of putting it. His favorite receiver, the open one. That's it. And can I just throw a curveball in? I just am reading Shaughnessy. God, it's good to have Shaughnessy back writing. He sat down with Tito, welcome back to baseball, Terry Francona.
Yeah.
And he cites a quote because, you know, Francona's had over 40 surgeries. He's had a lot of health issues, and he took the year off. And Shaughnessy, I think, accurately surmises that it's just an addiction to baseball. Like, he just loves that whole world. Theo once said that Francona loves every aspect of baseball. He loves the clubhouse. He loves being down there and loves the nakedness and vulgarity.
What? God, of all things to say.
What? Theo Epstein said that. I guess. What a weird quote. But either way, good to have Francona back in baseball.
Yeah. Interesting last night to watch Bogarts in a game 5 on one side and Kike on the other. Trotting around the bases.
Mookie hasn't been, you know,
Yeah.
Xander had a rough
That team moment. Is just so good. My
I
God.
Hate the three.
How about the fact that both home runs came from Kike on the Sox and Teoscar, the guy you lowballed?
Yeah. Could have had Teoscar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you'd have to do this thing called spend.
Speaking of curveballs, I gave you a great hockey note nugget take this week, and you didn't use it on the show.
Oh, I just ignore hockey talk.
Bruins win Thursday, beat the Habs. Who's the star? Mark Kastelic, who they traded Linus for. Where was that midseason last year? If you had traded the goalie... Gone with Swayman a year ago. You can get some help with the deadline, and maybe you beat Florida in that series.
I would just say this as a sort of a public service announcement to the audience. You can either agree with me in real time, or you can come to my side of the fence when I'm proven right. But either way, you're going to be understanding what I said, because I'm rarely wrong.
Well, you're a hockey guy.
I said Wiggy and I for months.
Right.
We're saying
no rotation.
It's the dumbest thing. It never happens. The goalie hug is a figment of your imagination. They don't actually like each other. God, Americans are so dumb. The way we just don't ask any questions.
Even Raycroft said that at the time. He didn't like the goalie hug.
Yeah,
that was
but then
him.
He was sent to the gulag with Dale. And then you have the Bruins have a better chance in the postseason with Kastelic, or whatever the hell his name is.
Right. Would have been a help.
And the other one is, you look at where... The Patriots are now, if they just listen to me, you play Drake May early, you're in a much better position. And I don't understand the...
why people don't agree with you on everything?
Well, and my other point about Gerard Mayo, that he was advocating for those, because it was taken by some of the media, who are wrong, that it was a sign of this lack of institutional control, that players and coaches were publicly commenting on the backup's performance. It was all part of a plan. Jerod Mayo was trying to apply pressure to those that were dictating who he was starting at quarterback by publicly discussing the play. And that, I think, expedited this process because the team feels empowered. Jerod Mayo is here for better or for worse because he's connected to the players in a way that Bill Belichick was not or could not. And now you sit here, and I think you're going to see an energized team tomorrow. I like the
Gatorade bath after the first touchdown pass.
I'm probably not, but, you know, a Gatorade bath in week one is not nearly as pathetic as Bill Belichick getting introduced on Pat McAfee's show as eight-time Super Bowl champion.
Well, he is. Eight rings, that's his boat name.
Right. Now, Steve Spagnuolo.
Are you sold on Mayo? I feel bad for him because it took him 6 weeks to convince whoever, Kraft. I guess Kraft's wallet convinced him. But Mayo wanted this week one. You and I agree. Right. Out of camp, he wanted Drake May to be the guy. He was overruled. He wanted to spend. He was overruled. Now he got his way. The quarterback's in. But how much power does he have? Do you think he's... I mean, Danny seemed to be nonplussed at Mayo's coaching so far. And he's had some rough games penalty-wise and things of that nature, clock management.
Did Danny ever call in, like, after that Packers overtime loss and bitch about Bill being too conservative in overtime, punting the ball to his favorite guy in Aaron Rodgers? Like, I don't... Listen, Jerod Mayo hasn't been perfect. Their end-of-half, end-of-game stuff has not been great. But I don't put that... I think this is all growing pains. And why not have the coach and the quarterback and the young receivers grow together? Where you're going in a direction. Nobody thinks that wants Drake May to start today. Even Chris Schein, Drake's biggest apologist, thinks that this is a playoff team or a team that's going to be contending for anything. It's just the opportunity to get him to grow through things he's going to have to understand and deal with and grow out of before he gets to next season.
617-779-7937 to David in the car. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as always. So Curtis, I could not agree with you more on goalies. There are two sports that you do not rotate goalies. That's hockey and soccer. The one
right.
You choose
right.
your goalie and you hold on to him. You ride a season, good or bad. That's what you do, period.
Well, you got your wish now. It's Corposalo for 10 games and Swayman for the rest.
Well, you know, I don't like the rotation. I think it's bad. I think it's been proven. Last year when they were doing that, leave Swayman in there, and unless he gets hurt or something, then you switch him out. If not, he plays.
Yeah, he plays, and you got him for 8 years. He's your guy for eight straight seasons of gold. Now, matinee today, right?
Yeah.
Down at the Garden.
I'm heading over there.
Celtics have two preseason games. Things are picking up. Don't you just sense that in the air? It's like we have turned the corner. Get Bruins underway. Celtics in 2 weeks. Preseason going on. Drake May tomorrow. World Series coming up. It's just bang. This might be the last good weekend.
Best month of the sports calendar.
Ooh, that's maybe going too far, but it's good. It's very good.
It's not quite March.
Listen.
This is finally a game that we can all get in front of, and we will all have an opinion. We will all have something to talk about. The Dolphins game last week was rock bottom.
Is your dad going to sell those tickets, and for how much?
I doubt it. He'll probably might.
But he can make a nice chunk for tomorrow, I think.
You
don't think this is like a highly
nice
anticipated
chunk?
Game?
No, I would say
the Drake May debut.
He could maybe get the money back.
That's it? Face value?
I haven't seen a single TV rating. Does anybody let us know?
Well, tomorrow will be the day to investigate on that.
Why?
Call Hennessy. Don't you have an inside source?
No, he's no longer there.
Oh.
I just...
What happened to your people? You used to have a...
people don't talk to me anymore.
People start... Well, I wonder why.
I mean, I don't want to talk to them.
You've blown up your sources.
No, it was just producers at TV stations, and I think they just got tired giving me information. So.
Okay, well, time to find new sources. And by the way, is there any doubt that Schefter and Rap Sheet got this from Kraft? I know you don't want to reflect on how it happened that much, but to break the news, the May news to break Tuesday when they're not in the building, it was either the owners or an agent, I guess. Could have been Drake's agent or something. But
I think it was Brissett.
Brissett called Rap Sheet and was like, I'm pissed. They benched me.
He was the one who was most bothered by it.
To try to undermine the team.
Or AVP.
Oh, maybe AVP. That's a good one. So AVP's pissed.
Didn't
I don't think he's got
Schefter's
number.
Didn't Rap Sheet
and
Schefter have it identical times?
Like, yeah, Rap Sheet had it first. But yeah, quickly. Quickly thereafter.
So that means it's a team source.
I think. So Kraft wanted it out there. He's tired of it. which is kind of cutting off his nose despite his face. That's not helping your coach.
It's so unsettling to see how poorly run they are right now. Like, it's just a real S show. Like, I think about all the things that they are so obsessed about. Like, Robert Kraft being on the field at the MetLife Stadium pregame saying, I knew 5 years ago that this guy was. It's like, how are people so needy that have so much? Like, Robert Kraft could buy Boston, and he still is so obsessed about getting credit for things. Like, just win. What else matters?
Well, he's doing something you like, though. 617 texter, though, said, Curtis, give it a rest on the Kraft bashing. You sound ridiculous. It's redundant. Haven't heard you complain during the 20-year run, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, generally, I agree with that. This is not Dan Snyder we're talking about. He does get a lot of heat lately. And granted, they have been miserable for 5 years and a lot of bad decisions.
Have they invested the fans' money back into the team?
They did 1 year, and
no,
it blew up on them.
As a general rule.
It did not
blow up on them. They made the playoffs, and they improved 3 wins. What are you talking about?
Well, it was misspent mostly. You would agree.
They spent a ton of money, and they won 10 games and made the playoffs. So stop that revisionist history nonsense.
Okay, well, they didn't spend wisely across the board.
And it yielded them 3 wins, and they made the playoffs.
The free agents they signed?
Yes.
Who?
Matthew Judon, Hunter Henry, Bingo Bango.
Yeah, Judon was good.
All pro.
You think they should have kept him this year?
No. Third round pick's fine.
Let's go to Dave in the car. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. So I've said this to you guys in the past. I'm going to say it again. I think Kraft, as an owner, is riding an incredibly lucky circumstance with number 12. Because if you look at his body work pre Tom Brady and post Tom Brady, it's horrible, right? And he's basically ran out 3 Hall of Fame coaches, right? And the ones prior to, and then they get so incredibly lucky with the draft pick. And even within those 20 years that he had, he didn't even handle those well, right? He tried to nickel and dime 12 all the time, right? Like, he wouldn't give him the money, didn't make him the highest paid player. Tom didn't want to be, and he said, use my money, go buy other players. And then he never really did that for him too, right? And so, and as a guy who was so, you know, above it all, right? And he was such a choir boy when, before his wife passed, you know, horrible to try to lift him up. Tell me one thing outside of getting lucky with a number 6 round draft pick that he's done that's really been great for this organization.
Well, do you give Dave any credit and Curtis for keeping Brady and Tom together for the second half of the dynasty?
Keeping Tom and Brady together was a tough task, but he did do that. You meant Tom and Bill.
What did I say?
Tom and Brady.
Tom and Brady, yes.
But either way, yes. No, I don't, actually.
And he eventually traded Jimmy G.
Bill, actually, did you hear that in one of his 16 podcasts? He talked about that they traded Jimmy G because they knew they had to get something for him and they weren't going to re-sign him. I don't know what was in the context.
Well, yeah,
of.
But Bill wanted to resign him. You would agree.
They did a great job, but in terms of credit,
Kraft did a great job.
Kraft, Bill,
years.
And Tom did a great job, but in yes. terms of credit, I go Tom, Bill, and then I go down about 20 floors, and I say then Kraft.
Well, that's fine, but then to treat Kraft now like he's the worst owner in sports is just way overkill.
But this is what you do. You go to these hyperbolic things.
Well, that's what people talk about him. Like, he's done an awful job on Kraft.
You know, who's a worse owner in the NFL?
He brought you 6 Lombardis. 6.
Okay. If the Patriots have, let's see, Stephen Ross, how many Super Bowls do they win with Bill and Tom?
Probably 2.
You're out of your mind.
What has Stephen Ross ever done?
What has Robert Kraft ever done without
6.
Tom?
He's done 6 with Tom. He was the perfect guy, perfect time.
Okay.
And Tom loved him. God, Tom still loves him.
Because he wants to be an owner, and he knows Robert Kraft has sway to get him the votes.
Why don't they bring Tom in as an owner?
Because they are not willing to accept a low offer the way the pumpkin pie haircutted freak is in Oakland or Vegas, whatever it is for the Raiders.
That is so baffling. Why is he, they letting him go
you
to
heard
Vegas?
It's amazing how, see what I said earlier? Eventually you'll either agree or come to my side. I said what they needed to do, after Bill left is to give Brady the deal that he has with the Raiders with them.
Yes.
He becomes the president, the front-facing guy.
Maybe they'll announce that when they announce the statue, when they unveil the statue.
It's such a no-brainer.
I know. What is happening
there? You have Tom Brady running your football department, a guy that has as much cachet as anybody. Robert Kraft will never be blamed again. Tom runs the football for the next 20 years, and you have the biggest winner in the history of American team sport in my lifetime up there next to him, giving him credibility with Jonathan when Jonathan overcomes, when Jonathan eventually takes over for his dad. Like,
you know what the problem is? Brady won't live here anymore. We'll catch him dead living in the Northeast. He probably wants to do it like via Zoom. And Kraft is like, you got to be
here. I
love how
you can wedge a Brady shot.
Well, that's what he said. He said he wouldn't live here anymore. So that's actually probably is the reason.
Out of your mind?
Don't you think he wants to live in somewhere tropical? That's why he's going to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Vegas is tropical.
Yeah.
What are you talking
desert,
about?
He likes the desert.
Tropical.
Climate. All right. Let's take a news update.
You know
update.
Where the tropics are?
He wants warm. I don't know. The guy is just, you know, he's afraid the cold will fall apart up here.
The cold will fall apart.
He'll fall apart in the cold. He said it, not me. I want him back. It makes all the sense
Ken,
in the world.
It was a one-liner in the middle of an obscure Wednesday press conference that you cite like it was the freaking Gettysburg Address.
Sounded pretty definitive. Let's find out what's trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Development on the practice field. Just how have you seen that development over the first 5 weeks here?
You know, his understanding, he's like a sponge. He stands back there and watches everything. You know, he's very involved in the meetings, very vocal in the meetings as well. His knowledge has grown over the course of, you know, the last, since we've had him since the draft. He's, you know, he's more prepared now than he ever has been to handle the challenges that'll be presented on Sunday. And again, his play on the field, you know, to watch the balls he throws out there, the accuracy, the down the field stuff that he's been able to show on the practice field is again, I think it gives us a chance to go win on Sunday.
Wait for the Van Pelt blitzkrieg. He is just going to unleash Drake this weekend, Curtis. Or does Ben McAdoo start to get a role? You're a McAdoo guy.
I love McAdoo.
Hey, he had a little Giants magic in him.
What?
First season in 2016, Giants 11-5.
2016? I mean, almost.
Yeah, what happened after that, though?
Well, Joe, I'm just saying he had a little flash. That's all I'm saying. He's got some resume. What's Van Pelt's resume? I'm waiting. Also, I just clicked on a story from Fox News. The first time I've done that in years. And is it embarrassing that I clicked on this headline? Drake May's girlfriend so excited about rookie's first NFL start. And all the article is a repost of her Instagram saying, yay, so excited. That's the story. Got me to click on it.
What? Repeat that again?
The Fox News headline is, Drake May's girlfriend so excited about rookie's first NFL start. And the entire article was her saying, yay, so excited.
Yeah, I got to tell you, we have never been dumber.
Anne Michael Hudson is her name. I don't think I ever knew that. Didn't know Drake had a girlfriend.
God bless him.
She'll be there, I would assume. Maybe she'll get some shots. Maybe not Taylor Swift-esque shots.
You know what Lane Kiffin says?
Women weaken legs?
Nope. You can judge a lot by how hot or not the girlfriend is because it's all about confidence.
Did he say that?
Oh, yeah. That's how the scouts find good players.
Drake May is in tomorrow. How do you feel about it? What do you expect? He was pretty good at North Carolina. That's just in. Not a great, you remember Merrill Hodge was skeptical of the completion percentage, the accuracy. But he didn't throw a ton of picks, right? He was not like throwing picks all over the place. Curtis is on board for 200 yards. How many touchdowns tomorrow?
Four.
Four?
Yep. One to the other team.
Okay. Three and a pick. Let's go to Saugus and talk to Johnny Cakes. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, boys.
How are you?
Hello, hello.
Yeah, we got you.
Good, good. I would just wanted to say, what if Drake gets hurt? Are we going back to Brissett and Ken? Impeccable rejoins today. Curtis James is a hit.
Oh, thank you.
James is a big hit. A lot there.
Stud.
Joe Braverman in charge of the rejoins today. Nice job, Joe. Although I had the Alice Cooper selection. But go ahead. What was his point?
I think he just hung up.
Oh.
But I would say.
Oh, what if he gets hurt? Do they go back to Jacoby?
Oh. No.
They go to Milton?
I would just take a knee. Why are people, like, where did the Joe Milton thing come from? Like, are people just dumb?
He can run a little bit, so
oh, my God.
Literally Malik Cunningham from a year ago.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather Malik Cunningham than go back to Jacoby?
Better Cunningham, Randall Malik.
Boy, I loved Randall Cunningham. QB Eagles and Tecmo Bowl back in the day.
I thought you hated Philly.
They didn't have the rights, but I loved Cunningham, especially in that game.
I loved Philly when they had Mike Golick on the offensive line.
Let's go to Johnston, Rhode Island, and talk to Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, guys. Curtis, can I ask you a question? I know I get it. You're mad at Robert Kraft and the whole bit, but...
Are you happy with what Anthony, can I ask you a question first? Are you happy with the organization?
Well, listen, right this year, I call this the first year of a rebuild. You got a completely new coaching staff, a completely new team. I mean, you got last year's defense, but this offense is new. You need to add to the offensive line. But you're going to trash a guy that took us out of when I tell you, this right here is like a winning season compared to what we had in 89 and 88. I mean, listen, they couldn't get past the 40-yard line. We go to games, and if we didn't have a good tailgate, we got nothing. So,
did you stop by Glenn's shed, though, after the game?
It was awful. I mean, you have no idea what things were like.
I do. So, I mean, I got to tell you, I do. I mean, I wasn't that old, but my dad got season tickets when Parcells came. I was 9 in 1993.
All right, so you were 9 in 1993, you were 7 in 1989.
That would be 4 years, so that would be 5.
So, like, really, you're 6 years old, 5 years old. How much of a football did you know?
I do. I was actually...
You don't remember the 80s. It was the worst.
Anthony, who cares about the 80s?
He's giving you some context.
It doesn't matter. They stink. They're as bad as any team in the NFL.
Listen, yelling over my voice isn't going to make you right, and it's not going to make me right. It's just, listen to me. Give it a chance. This is the first year of a rebuild. The team.
Anthony, why is it the first year of a rebuild? Why didn't they invest in the team 5 years ago?
How long has this coach been here?
Okay, but why is the team?
How long has this coach been here? How long is the team? How long?
Anthony,
how long has the coach and staff been?
We're gonna have a conversation. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question.
He's asking you one. You're not answering.
Okay. Yeah. So this organization.
All right. Well, this is not going well. I agree with what he's saying, though.
God, Ken, you suck at this
first
sometimes.
Year of a rebuild.
You are really bad at this.
You just want to yell over people? You think
no,
that was good radio?
It's a conversation.
That was not a conversation.
Anthony is saying
that people talk at once. You can hear nothing out there. There's a great man once.
Yeah, because this is a conversation that I'm listening to right now.
Thank you, Joe.
Ken, they sucked in the late 80s or in the early 90s. Nobody would dispute that, okay? What I'm expressing is that they have decided not to invest. It has not been something that they've been forced to do. It wasn't cap jail. They allowed this to happen. There were several quarterbacks available this offseason. They chose the cheapest, crappiest one. That was a decision from the top of the organization. Mm-hmm. He walks around like he is the most powerful man in all of sports. But when it comes to his own organization's decisions over the last 5 years, he wants you to believe he was powerless. That, to me, is the absolute peak of hypocrisy.
Okay, but can I just say something?
And to say one last thing, he has enriched himself and his family beyond anybody's wildest dreams. He's doing just fine, thank you.
Don't you hate when Shime, like, says old people are irrelevant in the old NFL, nobody was any good. Like, the older members of the population who have a different perspective on it, who lived through the suck before the dynasty, I appreciate them giving their opinion on it because they put it into context for themselves. Maybe not for you. You're upset at Kraft. You have your right to your opinion. This guy saw it when it was bad. He considers this year one of the rebuild. I think that's refreshing to hear.
The product we have seen for the last two seasons has been beneath the sports fan in Boston. It has been offensive, legitimately offensive.
And they fired the coach because of it.
But they didn't fix the talent rot. And correct. That, to me, it's a decision. Robert Kraft bought the team for $400 million. It's worth $7, $8, $9 today. He's doing just fine. I know he's paying Bill $30 million to do nothing. The NFL is making money like you read about. They decide to pocket it and force us to watch what we see. That, to me, deserves criticism. It is the six Super Bowl titles they have. The billions of dollars is in their bank account. They deserve to hear a little bit of criticism when they have elected not to invest into the organization.
And they hear plenty.
But what does 1988 have to do with any of that?
Again, it's somebody who lived through tough times before and is giving you some context about how things can be bad.
Do you think in 1988 he was critical of the owner of the team?
Yeah, he was on Monday through Friday. That guy used to host here. He used to rip the owner.
No, but I'm saying that guy with his friends in 1988, Anthony in Johnson, Rhode Island, did you think he would talk to his friends about how bad the owner was?
I don't know. Maybe he was patient then.
Okay. I think he was probably critical, rightfully so.
See, now this is dangerous. So Curtis is Irish, is up, his blood's boiling, and we got Angry Principal Dave next in queue, which is probably not the best.
Oh, it's fine. Dave is totally benign, meaningless.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Wow, that's not a good start, Curtis, because I'm behind you. I wasn't even going to go this direction, but I'll start with it. I lived through the suck, like the last caller, and once you get out of the suck, you don't go back to the suck. So Curtis is 100% right on this. We should have been spending, and we should have maintained. I'm not saying we're going to be Super Bowl bound every year, but we should be competitive. Like 8-8 back in the old days, 9-7. We shouldn't be suck, because once you get out of the suck, you don't go back.
Okay,
I didn't want to even talk about that. But
Dave, how old were you in 1988?
I was 18.
You're too young.
Yeah.
18. No, stop. I was too young. I was watching the Patriots since I was four, so I wasn't too young. Second thing, let me get to another couple quick points and then my real point. Mayo is an absolute puppet for Kraft. Kraft needs to go. He absolutely needs to go. He's the one that's a caller made a point before. The value of the franchise is going to go down if he keeps this up. He's awful. Rodgers 100% got Sala fired. I can't believe anyone even thinks differently.
Me either.
Stupidity. It's ridiculous, Curtis. I see how you get so infuriated at times because these callers. And if I hear one more time, Drake's going to get hurt. Drake's going to give me a break.
What
has
happened
with
Dave?
The nonsense?
What is happening,
Dave?
Dave,
best call you've ever had. You're making way too much sense.
The kid's an athlete. Let him play. And I feel like I think Douglas, Pop Douglas, is going to be his Brady Edelman, Brady, Troy Brownway in the back. He's going to be his little security blanket because Douglas is getting open. I think if they can run the ball effectively, this kid can make plays. And I feel like, and again, the offensive line is what it is. The coaching, we're kind of evaluating them based on the quarterback that we had. And again, not that Jacoby's a bad guy, but let's see what these people can do when you have a talent back there, because the talent can rise everybody above. So I'm excited, and let's not judge this kid, even if he has a great game, let's not put him in the Hall of Fame like whoever said that, Parcells. And if he's not that great, let's give this kid a chance. It's exciting. I'm back with this team now.
Wow, how about that? Dave, that's like just currying favor with you to try to get back in the morning show because you won't take his calls anymore.
I'm not in charge of calls in any way, but a lot of good points. It comes with the territory. Robert Kraft was canonized for two decades, rightfully so. He was part of an organization that was the marvel of every sports league on the planet. What they have devolved into is a disgrace, and it is some of its luck, obviously, just like getting Brady at 199.
You didn't enjoy last week's game?
But a lot of it is willful. It's willful decisions not to invest in this team. And just like John Henry has won 4 championships, Robert Kraft's won 6, they still get criticism when they don't do what fans pay them to do. It's just the free market system at play.
Well, Kraft, at least in the short term, you like his decision to start Drake tomorrow.
Yeah, and honestly, I want Drake to be great and the people around him to fail so Robert looks like more of an ass.
Let's go to my homeland of Brookline to talk to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Curtis, couldn't agree with you anymore about your assessment. It's hard to rag on the Patriots with all the joy they brought us over 20 years or so, but those days are over. But the thing that shows up most, that the fans are finally catching up. You said that your father's a season ticket holder. You'll notice if you go to the games, the most expensive seats, the red seats, the club seats, are sold on contracts. There's a lot of red seats. Those seats are not sold out, so therefore the season ticket list is over. Happened to the Celtics after Bird left and Pitino came in. Happened to the Red Sox. There is no more. And New England's never, before Brady got here, it was never a great football town. Brady made it a great football town. But it is what it is, and there'll be a lot of empty seats soon.
Brady and Bill, obviously Bob, took it to new heights, but I would say that in the 90s, Drew Bledsoe, 96 specifically, I mean, it was a awesome ticket down there when you had Bledsoe and Terry Glenn and Curtis Martin and Ted Johnson and Ty Law. I mean, that was that team that went to that Super Bowl against the Packers was certainly a popular one around here.
Yeah, but the facility was so bad back then. It was unenjoyable. But I agree with you. That was a good product. But the thought that, you know, I mean, you talk about the secondary ticket market, which is always an indication of how popular a team is. There is no secondary ticket market for the Patriots anymore. At one time, a Patriot ticket was a valued commodity. Now it's just, I own one. You want to buy it for half price.
Could change quick, though. Thank you, Bob. What if they do win tomorrow? What if Drake looks great? Pointed out earlier, you might have the instantly sixth best AFC quarterback situation going and much room to grow and build around him, to your point.
No, so, I think the Patriots fan has spent so much money the past 20 years, that it's going to take a lot for them to invest in that level again soon.
So you don't think if he's C.J. Stroud and they start winning games unexpectedly?
I mean, think the price will go up? Sure. I don't think it's going to be approaching anything like the Celtics or Bruins secondary market is right now. That's the other thing, is that there's only
competition.
The economy's not great.
The Celtics, if you want to go to a Celtics game, man. I mean, and rightly so. They're a great product.
No, my best friend was going to get his daughter tickets, and they were all going to go. He just got 2 for his wife and daughter to go to the game because he was like, it's $400 a pop. It's wild. But people spend that money.
They do.
Like, in a night at the Garden, you're talking $60 to park. You're talking one slice of pizza is $22. We got to get Jackson back there to get the new flavors of the year.
Yeah, we do. Don't you love the West End, though? How they've renovated things down there?
They did a great job.
Wiggy's living there. God, he's biking all over the West End.
Oh, God. Speaking of paying too much.
What did you think of Billy Sullivan in the 80s?
Sully? Not my guy. But in the 90s in Boston was just, you know, the forgotten decade. What a brutal, brutal decade.
Yes, it was. Let's not relive that. No. We do have coming up Shime and Fitzy. Fitzy and Shime.
Best Boston sports moment of the 90s? David Gordon, 41-yard field goal to beat Notre Dame.
What happened to BC last week?
Awful.
What happened?
I'm the reason they lost. I got home, put it on. They were up 2 touchdowns, and they sucked. It's all on me.
The Hoos took them down. God.
Virginia looks so like a dead-ass stadium.
Dead, exactly. Dead-ass. Tough loss.
Bad loss.
Rebound next week, Vatek.
Yeah. Billy O wins every week, though, on the Greg Hill Show.
Yes, he does. He's going to be on. He loves you guys so much. He's coming on game day, Thursday, regular time, day of the game. So,
are they playing who, Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech, Thursday night.
Oh, so the bye week's kind of interrupted.
Yeah, well, yeah, but this is the bye weekend.
I know. Short week after. But
do you want to talk to Shime? Do you want to talk to Fitzy?
Anybody.
Do you want to talk to neither?
Let's talk to Shime. I mean, this is Shime's weekend.
This is Shime's weekend. This is his big weekend. We'll talk to him next. This is an ode to Tariq Skubal and the Tigers. Game 5 today. You keep on dancing. see if they advance. They'll be the one low-payroll team, Curtis, in the Final Four of baseball. Whoever gets there will be. I'll tell you who's here now, though, and hide the Drake's cakes. It is the very Slim Shimey, who's ready for 12-3 with Fitzy today after doing a couple hours Thursday night. We've been working Shime hard. Hello, Shime.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Are you excited? Big weekend here for you?
Ken, I could not be more excited. I have been, since, what was it, late Tuesday afternoon, I have been nothing but thrilled for Sunday, and nobody can knock me off this high.
Okay, now you're a bet guy. You're a betting expert of some note.
Yeah.
Although Courtney's been
expert
that.
Is a loose term, but yeah, sure.
Do we have any props? Because Curtis has been looking for. Curtis, by the way, has 200 yards for Drake tomorrow. I don't know if you agree.
Love that. I was actually just texting my buddy before the show today, and he was asking me, "What do we think about Drake May going over 200 yards?" I said, "I love it. I think there's a really good likelihood that that happens."
I think they're going to be trailing. Yep. So they'll have to throw the ball. There's no Ramondre Stevenson.
Good game script right there.
And
there
I would also say maybe something that Gibson can do better than Ramondre or as good is the screen game.
Agreed.
You get Brissett sucked at that. God, did he suck
so
at
bad.
Timing throws. He was so bad. That's one way you get the pass rush to be negated is you get them a little off their heels with the screen game. That's how the Patriots won their first Super Bowl.
So what's the official over-under on yards for him?
For Drake May right now, it's 164.5. That number's gone up a ton. All of Drake's numbers have gone up, which indicates to me there's smarter people than I out there betting these numbers heavily. That Drake number originally opened around 152. That's gone up to 164.5.
Can you get plus two over 200 yards? What's the juice on that?
Yeah, so 200 yards for Drake May right now is plus 260.
Woo!
So 2.5 to 1, basically. Which
go,
is
Curtis.
Great. You
put,
know,
put the James College fund on that.
I love it. I just got to get my dad's account.
There you go.
No. Plus, James got a drum kit, so he doesn't need school anymore.
Our old neighbor's awesome. Izzy, so on. It was perfect symmetry, not planned. The first day of Pudge's Pals, James saw Izzy, which was Pudge's best bud. They moved from Southie to Beverly. And I hear downstairs in my condo, this banging. John, who I will not give the last name, I don't know what I did to you. I thought we were good friends. we cohabitated during COVID. They have these two great daughters, but they gave James a drum set, and it is loud, and he has just reckless abandon with the thing. So brutal weekend, but James actually just texted me. He said he likes Drake May over.
Great.
So,
look at that.
I love it. Over 200. How about what are some other props for Drake?
Yeah, so Drake's rushing yard total was another one that I loved. It was at 25 just yesterday. It's already up to 28.5. I still like that. Like, I think there's a chance he hits the 40 number is kind of where I would set the ceiling for that at. I just think there's going to be designed runs in here, especially inside the red zone, which is also why I love an anytime touchdown. That's another prop that has lost value over the last 24 hours. Yesterday, that was at some places plus 425. That's not go down to plus 370 in a lot of spots. So
a Drake rushing touchdown.
Yep, Drake rushing touchdown, almost 4-1 right now, which I love. I think you saw it in the preseason, right? As soon as they get inside that 10-yard line range, it's that read option, and I think just in confidence in his own athletic ability, he's going to keep that a lot and take that to the house.
Can you get sack over-unders on a quarterback? Is that even available?
So, like, you'd bet the defensive stats. I can probably find some, yeah. Wow, you think the Texans are going to sack Drake a ton?
Yeah, it could be like 6-7 sacks, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could.
If they're sitting there at like 5.5 over-under, I might take that.
Take
the over.
I think he's going to only get sacked 2 or 3 times.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah,
he's
I'm with Curtis.
Get rid of that ball. That's what he's been taught to do.
I also think this offensive line, I mean, you saw them look better last week. They have improved slightly.
Let's slow down. They scored 10 points.
They still, yeah, but that wasn't the offensive line's fault. It was Jacoby Brissett's fault. I mean, they allowed 2 sacks in the first 3 snaps of the game and then did not allow a sack. I think it was Vidarian Lowe didn't allow a pressure all game. So, I mean, look, I think the offensive line has started to improve. They might have found their actual combination. And that'll help. Consistency is good.
Who is the Shime preferred target for Drake May? Who does he hone in on? Who's got the most catches tomorrow?
Oh, it's Jalen Polk. It's absolutely Jalen Polk. It has to be Jalen Polk. As I've said multiple times now, people can criticize my stat all they want.
That he's got a great ass.
He does. Shout out to the guys over at Fantasy Points. They have created the stat ass. Jalen Polk has a wonderful ass. He is getting an average separation score equal to that of guys like CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Malik Nabers.
So you're saying he gives the Patriots a Brazilian butt lift?
Yeah, definitely. Good PBL.
My question for you, and not specific to you because these aren't your stats, does anybody ever check the work? Like, because they can say that.
No,
who the hell is going to go back and go like through the actual separation of every play?
Yeah, sure. I don't know that anybody has gone and checked the work, but I don't know. They have a really cool graph. Everybody's laid out on the graph. It's very, very enticing. I bet you can find the actual. I mean, you can go back and do the scoring yourself
of
if you
every
to.
Receiver in the NFL on every pass
play. No, it's so first of all, they filter out the receivers. You have to have like the minimum number of targets
okay,
you have
let's
to
say
have
40
at.
Receivers.
Yeah, they you
every
can go back.
Pass play of every receiver
yep.
and how much separation they have. That yeah. seems like it would take like a year.
Hey, man, it's actually it doesn't take that long. Look, I mean, to be honest, like when you go back and chart through the All 22, like you can also just look at the play-by-play game script. You can find that on ESPN and just look at all the plays that they were targeted on and stuff, and like go through that. Or, but when
it's
it comes
only
to this
plays
score,
they were targeted.
No, on this score in particular, I'm just saying, like for me in general, to kind of trim it up. But for them, they go through every single offensive play.
Well,
sure,
I'll take it. I love a good ass. So.
So, Sam, do you think Polk is legit good, though?
I think Polk is legit good.
I'm worried about that.
No,
I
think
you liked Odunze anyway coming out of college. You didn't like Polk?
I loved Rome Odunze. I thought Rome Odunze was awesome. I thought that whole Washington offense is good. I think Jalen McMillan down in Tampa Bay, also a good player. I think everybody on that Washington offense will be good in the NFL. They were all extremely talented.
All right, well, 3 hours of Shime Time with Fitzy. Curtis, enjoy your weekend with the drum kit.
You too. Have a great weekend.
Good luck with that.
Oh, my God.
Keep the Advil ready.
Go Ducks. Big night.
Oh, yeah. You got Ducks plus 3 in the over tonight,
yep.
right?
Cost
God,
us.
You hate New Hampshire and Ryan Day.
Ryan Day can't hold a candle to Dan Lanning as a coach. Dan Lanning is a far better coach than Ryan Day. Ryan Day has regurgitated on his shoes with better teams year after year after year.
Is Dan Lanning the guy at James Madison now? Is that him?
Dan Lanning's the coach of Oregon.
Oh, duh. I'm thinking of, who's the guy at Holy Cross that I'm thinking of? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I know the guy that almost beat BC last.
He said local. That's why I got confused.
No. Joe B., good job. Fitzy and Shimer next, followed by Travis Thomas. Don't go anywhere.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.